This is my worship. This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. I don't want to follow my own way. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit.
what an incredibly powerful song today. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, break out tonight. Spirit, break out today. Spirit, break out this morning. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you very much for joining me here this morning on this March 22nd, 2020, year of our Lord, 2024. We've had a really powerful week here on Live from America. I mean, especially with Rise Up. Rise Up this week might be the best consecutive messages that I've ever been able to help get out for the Lord. Like, yesterday's show to me was my favorite show I've ever done. And we've done some really powerful shows before. We've done shows where you've seen me break down and cry. We've done shows where you've seen me lifted up in miraculous blessings, and the mercy of the God is very apparent. But yesterday, can we top that? If you didn't get to see yesterday's show, it was all about the number 41 and how incredible that number is, what it represents in our lives, and how we can look forward to that number every single day, especially if we're living in day or year 40. So today's episode, today's Godcast, is going to be talking about one-way streets. Now, there are some one-way streets that are really good, and there are some one-way streets that are really bad. So today, we're going to be talking about that and what prompted me to do this message today. How God led me ultimately to this message. Now, Rodney says, is the show running late? No, Rodney, you, my friend, are running late. Show is up and going. Make sure you guys refresh from the beginning if you need to. And Heidi says, I've seen the number 41 several times yesterday. Well, that's incredible. That's incredible. So today's show, we're going to be talking about one-way streets. Now, biblically and spiritually speaking, the one-way street that we are on is amazing because it's leading to number 41 and you're not alone. Speaking in the flesh of the world and earthly, one-way streets aren't so good. Whether you get stuck on one and you can't turn around, or whether it's a one-way street in a relationship, it's not so good. So we're going to be talking about that today and what led me to today's message, which is a very powerful moment in our lives, in my family's life. And Allie says, I missed it, but I'll try to watch it later. Yes, do yourself a favor. Yesterday's show might have been the best message that I've ever put out, that I've ever been a part of. Rodney says, are we waiting for Shane? I don't see him in the chat. Maybe that's why you said something about are we late, because Bad Moon isn't here yet. Good morning to Jessica O'Brien. Good morning to Kristen Donovan and the boys. Good morning to Majorva and Lord Fishy. Good morning to Jeff. It was in my Bluetooth. I have sound now. Okay, perfect. Good morning to Mustache and Miranda. Good morning to Chris DL. Good morning to Carla and Cindy. Good to see you all. And yes, it is Friday. We made it through another week. We're still alive. We still have air in our lungs. We're still able to see and hear. We're still able to worship together and have fellowship here on Rise Up. So if you're just joining in, make sure, do not forget to make sure that you're signed in. And the best way to know if you're signed in or not, if you have a profile, is if you go to hit the thumbs up and nothing happens. Now, if you go to hit the thumbs up and it turns all green, it turns that little oval section there green, well, then you're signed in. If you're chatting, if you go to chat in the live chat and you can't chat, it might mean you're not signed in. Also, if you're signed in, make sure that you have not unfollowed the LFA TV channel, as sometimes that happens just by default, of no fault of your own. And let's get started today. Again, one-way streets. I want to read the description, we'll then go to prayer, and then we'll get into it. And by the way, I have two Ray Comfort videos to show you on this Comfort Friday. Two of them that are only about 10 minutes long. So We'll do that today. Episode number 319 of Rise Up. One-way streets are reserved for you to travel in a specific direction. There is no turning around without completely rerouting. And there is nobody challenging your one-way movement. Today, we recognize that if you travel down that one-way path alone with nobody challenging you and no way off for too long, you might find yourself lost and alone. Now, we as Christians, spiritually, are on a very one-way narrow path, but even we don't do it alone, and we don't end up lost or alone. Let's talk about it today, okay? Now, you're going to want to go to verse or 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 today. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now, Annette said, can I come and sit in that chair, that beautiful chair sitting behind you? Well, here's what I'm going to do right now, folks. I'm going to remove the lower third banner, and I'm also going to move out of the way so you can see this beautiful setting behind me, okay? Let me just walk out of the way here for a minute. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that the place that you want to be? Reading 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. That's where I want to be. So ladies and gentlemen, let's get into prayer today. And then we'll get into why and what brought me to this verse. Hold on. P.M. Reese found out yesterday my mother has terminal leukemia. Damn vaccine. I am so angry. Wow. Let me just tell you something. While my mother's cancer is not yet terminal, thank the good Lord, we kind of got shocked by some news about my mother and cancer as well, as you might know. Leukemia is a rough one. I've had family members that had leukemia, and I understand that that's a rough one. Well, I can't say anything, and nobody in this chat can say anything that's going to make you feel any better after hearing news like that. That's for sure. But what everybody in this chat can do is pray for you, PM Reese. What everybody in this chat can do is do the best thing that we can do, the most powerful thing that we have known to mankind, and that's prayer. And we can pray for your mom. And we can pray for what God's will is with the journey that your mom is on. I pray that she's saved. I know it's going to hurt regardless, but we'll put her in our prayers here this morning when we get ready for our morning prayer, which we're going to do right now. PM Reese, everybody. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we end this week, we look back on all of the messages that we were a part of this week, all the fellowship together as one group of brothers and sisters, strongly devoted, proudly devoted to digging deep into your word and spreading the seeds of your gospel every single day. And we know that every Friday that comes is another week closer to being in heaven with you, which is where we ultimately all want to be. We also know that while we're on this earth, we're still here for a reason. We still have a mission. We still have a very specific duty and responsibility that you've given us. We also know that we're going to experience hardships and arrows from the devil and enemies trying to attack us daily and hurting our family and friends and bad news and bodies decaying because of sin. But we also know that with you, we can find joy in all of that. Lord, today we pray for PM Reese and the mother and their family who's suffering from leukemia and the family that will suffer from the suffering of the mother. But there is salvation found in suffering, and there are treasures found in trials. And Lord, we ask that that family can lean on you today, and that the Holy Spirit be present in their family as they're going through this very tough time. And we ask and pray in this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not easy, is it? It's not an easy path that we Christians have, but it's a necessary path. It's a necessary path because when we go through this suffering, the salvation on the other side is far, far surpasses the suffering that we went through. God promises that. What you have waiting for you is far better than the best you've ever known. What you have waiting for you, even through your suffering, is going to make it so that suffering was never a thing in your life. It's that good. And we're going to talk about that today, which is why I titled the show One Way Streets. I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians verse 7 right now with all of you, if I can. We get the live chat up here so I can see it here in front of me. Perfect. Rosebud said, Jeremy, my son Garrett is in sin with his alcohol again. Will you pray for him so he can hear this? Lord and Heavenly Father, if Garrett hears this message today, there are thousands of people that will watch this show that do not know who he is, but there are thousands of people that in your name will pray for his suffering that he's going through and the pain that he's going through, where he feels that he has to turn to a spirits, bad spirits. That's why they call them spirits, to lighten his load. Lighten his load for him today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You're very welcome, Paul. P.M. Reese's name is Paul, ladies and gentlemen. What a perfect name, especially since we're going to be reading from Paul today. So maybe, Paul, maybe, just maybe, today's message was specifically for you from God, because today's message is from Paul. And as a matter of fact, the title of these verses that I'm about to read fall under these words, Paul's joy at the church of repentance. So Paul, maybe this is just for you today. I guess we'll find out. Ladies and gentlemen, please go to chapter 7, verse 9. And we read, well, first of all, before we get to this, I know you're still turning your pages there. How many of you have looked to heaven before and said, why is this happening to me? I don't want you to be shy right now. I want you to sign in and I want you to sound off. How many of you have looked to the heavens and said to God, who hears everything that you cry out to him for, why is this happening to me? Why now? What did I do? What are you trying to show me? Why are you putting me through so much pain? Why do I have to go through this suffering? I believe so much in you. I love you so much. Am I not doing your commands? Why do you have to make my mother suffer? Why do you have to allow my sister and my brother to suffer? Why are you putting this on me? And I think the answer you're going to get back is why not? You have to grow, my son. My beautiful daughter, my princess. You have to grow. You have to understand. You have to learn. How else will you be prepared for 41 if you can't make it through 40? You are going through 40 so that you can get to 41, so that you can understand 41. Why would you not have to suffer trying to be Christ-like? What did Christ do for everyone around him? For everybody past, present, and future? He suffered. But through that suffering, he found everlasting joy. Now, Crincy Will, I don't know how that pronounced, I'm sorry, says, when my husband died, I did that. And I can imagine if my wife died today, I might do that too. I was once asked by somebody, when you blame God for taking somebody, or when you're mad at God for somebody leaving you too early, whether it's your husband, your wife, or your child, somebody said, how dare you? And I said, I'm thinking to myself, what? The question that this person asked was, how dare you be so selfish that God, who created your husband, your wife, your friend, your brother, or your child, called them to come home? And they called them to come home because heaven needs them back now. How dare you be so selfish? And I thought about that when somebody said that to me. And when you think of it from your perspective, yes, why would you do this to me? Why would you take them from me? But what if you were looking at it from God's perspective? What if God needed that person home? What if God wanted that person home with him? What if that person fulfilled their duty? Carolyn, thank you. What if that person, what if your husband fulfilled his duty here? And God said, it's time, my son. And now your husband is in everlasting bliss. And we're here mad. I'm not saying that to you specifically. I'm just saying that that's what somebody said to me once. And they said, your perspective is not God's perspective. Your desires are not God's desires. Your will is not God's will. How dare you? And I was like, whoa. Right? Which is what brings me to today's message. I'll read today's message for you. And I want you to think of that time when you looked up and said, why? Why am I going through this suffering? Why is my mom dying? Why is my dad dying? Why did my husband leave me? Why is my wife dead? I want you to think of those moments. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think of that moment that you did that while I read this verse for you. Chapter 7, verse 9. Now I am glad I sent it. Not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. Stop real quick. Those who have lost a close loved one, a husband, a wife, a child, did your perspective and did your life change once they left? Did your perspective on daily activities, did your daily decision making, did your outlook on something change after they left you? Feeling alone, feeling upset, feeling depressed. Did you then change? I'll guarantee you, you did. I'll guarantee you that you go through life thinking things are maybe a little bit more precious than you thought before. You go through life maybe thinking, my loved one I thought was going to be here forever, and they're not. So maybe I can help somebody else look at life a little bit differently. Maybe prioritize some things. Maybe see what really matters. and what you think from your perspective is an ultimate loss could very well end up being an ultimate gain, and the person that you lost is living a life that you never, ever even thought would be possible. Everybody agrees. So, now I'm glad I sent it. Not because it hurts you. Not glad because it hurt you. But because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have. So you were not harmed by us in this way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Wow. Antlob said, when I lost my brother for 96, I cried, or in 96, I cried for 2 years. Very powerful message this morning, and I'm going to tell you now what led me to this story today, to this message today. As you guys know, we are going through a lot in our family right now with our daughters, mainly. And I was talking to my daughter last night, my oldest, who loves me very, very much. And even though has disrespected me and my household for many months now, absolutely does respect me very much, believe it or not. My oldest daughter is daddy's little princess, right, Eli? Baby Shay, she's 15, she's 16, and we still call her Baby Shay. I've been spending a lot of time with my daughter lately because she needs guidance. And we've been talking a lot about God and the Lord and following him and falling away from him. And I asked my daughter, I said, do you love God? Do you believe in God? Yes, Dad, I do. Do you love God? Very much, Dad. Does it make you happy? And do you feel joy when you please God? Yeah, Dad, it does. Very much. I said, okay. What about me? She said, what about you, Dad? I said, do you love me? So much, Dad. Do you love to obey me? Do you love the feeling of you did well and you did and you made me proud? Oh, Dad, so much. Does it hurt you when I'm disappointed in you? Does it hurt you when I'm upset with you? So much, Dad. I said, okay. I want to paint a picture for you, I said. She said, okay. I said, you know when I come on the weekends downstairs and you want to get up early because you want... My daughter and I like to play chess together. I taught her everything she knows about chess, and she's better than me now. So we'll play chess together. It's one of our favorite things to do. So if I ask her in the morning or at night before she goes to bed, would you like to get up early in the morning and play chess with me before everybody gets up, before the day starts, and before I get too busy? You would think that I just bought her a car for Christmas when I ask her that. Her eyes light up like a stuffed animal, big, huge eyes. She says, Dad, I would love that. I say, okay, I'll wake you up in the morning. Now, I'll go down and I'll wake her up. And I'll say, Shay, yeah, what's up, Dad? I'm waking you up now. You ready for chess? Yeah, Dad, I'm ready. And she literally will get her stuff ready the night before. She'll get the chessboard ready. She'll get coffee ready to make in the morning. She loves it. And she gets up and we play chess. Okay. And I said, now let me paint you a picture. She said, okay. I said, imagine I come down to wake you up for chess. And she smiled. And I said, imagine I say, Shaylin, wake up. Now, I said, you know you've been going under a lot of suffering lately, right? Yeah. You've been hurt lately. You've fallen away from God. You've done some very terrible things. You've written down some very terrible things about me, about your stepmom, about your mom. You've said things that I can't believe you've ever said. You've been hurt. I've been reading how hurt you are and how you've been crying out for help because she has diaries and everything and leaves things laying around that she wrote on. My daughter's been in a lot of pain in the last 6 months. And I said, okay, imagine it was a month ago, the height of your inner pain that you were dealing with. And she said, okay. And I said, imagine I come downstairs and I am there for you through all this pain, through all the pain that you've caused me, through all the hurt that you've caused me, through the things that I've seen that you've written down about me. And she's like, got her head down. And I said, imagine I wake you up and I say to you, hey, baby, it's time to get up and play chess. And imagine you look at me and you spit in my face. You push me away and you say, get the hell away from me, old man, loser. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want you in my life. I don't want to play chess with you. I just want you to get the hell away from me. Imagine you said that to me. And imagine my response back to you was, I'm sorry. I love you. No matter what you just said to me, I'll be upstairs waiting to play chess with you when you don't feel like you hate me anymore. And I go to give her a big hug, and she pushes me away and says, did you not hear me? Get away from me. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't care about pleasing you. I don't care about obeying you. And I sure as hell don't care about doing anything with you. I don't care about being in a relationship with you. Do you want to know what happened when I said that to my daughter? She broke down and bawled. And she said, why would you say that? I would never even dream of doing that to you. Why would you say that, Dad? And I said, because that's what you do to God every single day. And his response back to you is, I'm sorry that you're hurt. Whether you feel or don't feel that way, I love you. And I'm going to continue to give you blessings. And I'm going to continue to give you mercy and grace. And I'm going to continue to give air in your lungs. And I'm going to continue to give you a dad that loves you. And I'm going to continue to give you a mom that loves you. I'm going to continue to give you a home. I'm going to continue to give you the very breath in your lungs that you're breathing every minute. Even when you push me away and tell me that you don't want anything to do with me and you hate me, I love you and I'll be upstairs waiting to play chess with you. That got her. That got her. I said, if you're not willing to do that to me, or you would never do that to me, how much more should you think about doing that to God, who not only created you, but sent his only son, like you're my daughter, to suffer and be tortured and die so that you could play chess with him? Now you tell me that doesn't wake you up. You tell me that's not powerful. And you also tell me that that wasn't the Holy Spirit speaking through me at that moment. And I'll call you a liar. while my daughter is learning these messages and these important lessons, I'm learning them too, right? This is my journey as well. God's got me learning things through this as well. And Jesus spoke in parables, which we call analogies today or metaphors. Jesus spoke in them so people could understand. My daughter never seemed to understand until I spoke that way to her. And then she got it and she bawled. And she said, "Dad, I would never do that." And I said, "But you do every single day." Somebody asked, "Have you considered homeschooling your girls?" They have both been pulled out of school and they're both homeschooled now, yes, because of a lot of this. And now I've got two Ray Comfort videos to show you, each about 10 minutes long. And that's why I figured, you know what, we have the perfect time now. Actually, this one's only about 5 minutes and 33 seconds, and the other one is about 10 minutes. So it looks like we're going to make it. I'm so glad that you guys were able to hear my message this morning. I'm so glad that you were able to hear why I wrote it down. And before we go to that, I want to talk about that's a one-way street. Shaylin, my daughter, and so many people are living on one-way streets. One-way streets where they're not giving back the reciprocal amount of respect and love that's coming to them. That's the danger of going down a one-way street. Now, there's only one one-way street that is not dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, and that is the narrow path to salvation. This one right here. This is the only one-way path that is safe to be on. This one-way path right here is the path that so many of us are on. So many of our loved ones, our kin. This is the path that they're on. Don't be on this one-way street, okay? Be on this one-way street right here. The one that leads to the cross. The one that leads to salvation. Because guess what? There, this right here, here's number 41. This one is leading to nothing but loneliness, depression, pain. This one, you are walking alone. You're not with all these people, but you are not alone. These people right here that are walking together, they're alone, walking on this one-way street. Be on this one-way street where you're not alone. Amen? All right. Let's go to Ray Comfort, folks, for Comfort Fridays. Here we go.
Teach anthropology?
Yes, I teach anthropology here at Cerritos College.
Do you think we're primates?
We are part of the primate order, indeed. Yes.
Why do you believe that?
Because it's just how we are categorized in kingdom, phylum, class, order, and we are part of order primates.
I believe differently.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I believe we're made in God's image as male and female with the attributes of God. We're separate from dogs and cats, horses and cows, because we have a sense of justice and truth and righteousness. We set up court systems. Primates don't do that. We believe in right and wrong and retribution when there's evil done. And we've got a conscience and we've got an ability to reject or accept God. Do you believe in God?
I do believe in God.
You're afraid of dying?
Kind of.
Kind of? It's horrible. It's haunting. It takes your breath away.
Everything that you said, I believe in.
Oh, do you believe in the Bible?
I do believe in the Bible.
Do you respect Jesus?
Of course I respect Jesus.
Now, he destroyed evolution with one sentence. Do you know what he said?
Tell me.
He said, "In the beginning, God made them male and female."
Yes, I agree.
That's what's missing with evolution. There's no male and female. There's just sludge after a big bang, and then up came life out of non-life and split into male and female so we could reproduce. So where are you going when you die?
The afterlife.
Where?
With my ancestors and God.
Do you believe what Jesus said about the afterlife?
Tell me more about what Jesus said about
that. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." So you need to trust in Jesus. He's the Savior that God gave. Do you think you've sinned against God, or are you a good person?
I believe I am a good and kind person.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Definitely told a couple lies.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
I don't know. You tell me.
A liar.
Okay, so that makes sense. That definitely makes sense, yes. It does. They are called a liar, yes.
Have you ever taken something that belongs to somebody else in your whole life, even if it's small?
I don't think I have, actually.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I don't think I have.
I've heard you use it 4 times since I met you.
Did I say...
Yes, you did.
And is that saying it in vain?
Yes.
Okay, I apologize if I did.
Don't apologize to me, because it's not my name that you're taking in vain. He wants to come really close. Yeah, do you love your mom?
I do love my mother.
Would you use her name as a cuss word?
No.
No, because you respect her. But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word. Very, very serious.
I didn't realize I was using God's name as a cuss word earlier.
That's what it means, taking it in vain, not giving it due honor. This is embarrassing for me, but Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. Have you ever looked with lust?
Yeah.
Here's a quick summation. This is for you to judge yourself to see how you're going to do on Judgment Day. You've told me you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. God judges you by those commandments, will you be innocent or guilty?
Just on that evidence alone, you might say that I might be guilty of those things.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Would you go to heaven or hell?
Maybe hell.
And proof we've sinned is our death. You and I are on death row. We're waiting to die. Now, do you know what God did so we wouldn't have to go to hell? God did something wonderful.
Died for our sins.
Yes, most people know that, but they don't know this, and this will change everything for you if you can get a grip of it. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said it is finished just before he died. If you're in court, someone pays you fine, a judge will let you go, even though you're guilty, so you're out of here, and it's legal to let you go. Well, God can take the death sentence off you because Jesus paid the fine on that cross 2,000 years ago, and then he rose from the dead. And if you'll simply repent of your sins, turn from them, and trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute, God will grant you everlasting life as a free gift. That's what the Bible says. Everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. One last thing before you go.
Yes.
If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
So that you will live.
Yeah, and your motivation is fear. You fear dying. And that fear is your friend, not your enemy. It's doing you a favor. It's making you put on a parachute. And because I care about you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll make you serious with the God that gave you life. You going to think about what we talked about?
Yes, I will.
I will definitely think about all the points that we discussed today.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, can I give you a book I've written? It's very short. It's called Volatile, and it shows you that 2,500 years ago, God actually named the countries, the nations that would attack Israel in the last days. Okay. Something we're seeing at the moment. It'll show you that only God knows the future. He's put his future in his word, and his offer of everlasting life is credible. You've been very patient. You didn't have too long. We just got drowned out by a lawnmower, and I'll let you go because you've got to go and teach a class.
Yes, I do have to teach a class. Okay. Thank you for those insights. I'm so grateful that I got to speak to you today.
Living water.
Well, that's nice. I always like it when they're, like, sometimes you can tell that they're, you know, they don't care about it. Sometimes you can tell they're just trying to be, you know, polite. But either way, if they are curious, then that's a good thing. We want people to be curious about God. Especially we want them to ask questions. Even if you don't think they're being sincere, as long as they're not being like jerks about it, you know what I mean? I love the fact that they ask the questions. And here is the other Ray Comfort video today. And this one is 8 minutes, so it looks like we'll have a little time together when this is done. Roll it.
Someone who steals. He was standing right behind his sweet wife and daughter, and his body language was freaking me out. Watch what happened. What's your religion?
Catholic.
Have you been born again?
I don't know.
I want to see you in heaven, so we better make sure you're born again. Are you afraid of dying?
Yes.
Think about it much?
Yeah.
And what about you?
I think everybody is afraid because there's the unknown.
You ever read the Bible?
On a daily basis, no.
Yeah, the Bible tells you you can know that you've got everlasting life. Absolutely for certain. Would you like to join in?
No.
Do you think you're a good person?
I do.
You're going to make it to heaven because you're a good person?
Yes.
Do you know the Bible says something different? Did you know that?
Oh, no. Yeah. What does the Bible say? What am I not doing?
A young man came to Jesus. He was called the rich young ruler. This is in the Gospel of Mark 10, verse 17. He came to Jesus. He said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said a strange thing. He says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." He said to him, "You know the commandments." And he quoted the Ten Commandments to him. "So I'm going to do that with you guys. Can you handle that?"
I think so.
Can you be honest with me?
Yes.
Are you nervous?
No.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, too many.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
What are you?
I guess a liar.
Do you still think you're a good person?
Yes.
Have you ever taken something that belongs to somebody else in your whole life, even if it's small?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals?
Oh, goodness. A thief.
So what are you?
a thief.
No, you're not. You're a lying thief. Do you still think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever used gobs? Have you ever used... I'm looking at his body language. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you love your mom?
Yeah.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No.
No, because you respect her.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother because you've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word. Vanessa, that's called blasphemy. Very, very serious in God's eyes. It's punishable by death in the Old Testament. Do you still think you're a good person?
Yes.
You know why?
You want me to tell you why? Because I don't think those sins define us.
If you look up the word good in the dictionary, there's over 40 different definitions. And number one is moral excellence. And only God is good. Only he is morally excellent. All of us have fallen short of that standard. Ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
No.
Have you heard it?
No.
Yeah, it's saying God is paying you in death for your sins. It's like a judge looks at a criminal, he says, you've committed murder, but you keep telling me you're a good person. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what's due to you. I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. And Vanessa, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you and I the death sentence. Our death will be evidence to us that God is deadly serious about sin. The scriptures say every time we sin, we store up his wrath. So as a lying, thieving, blasphemous person, and by the way, Jesus said, if you as much as look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. If you hate someone, you commit murder, the Bible says. Each of us have a multitude of sins. I'm as guilty as you, but here's the question. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, we've looked at three or four, are you going to be innocent or guilty?
I'll be guilty.
Heaven or hell?
I don't believe in hell. That's my own personal belief, because I believe God is a good God, and
He is.
Repenting God, and we will be given enough chances to make our wrongs right. I don't believe in a hell.
Vanessa, you've just done what I did before I was a Christian. First commandment says you shall have no other gods before me. The second is don't make yourself a false god. Before I was a Christian, I created a god in my image. I felt comfortable with a cuddly, snuggly god that I could sort of snuggle up to like a teddy bear, who had no sense of justice or truth or righteousness. God is a god of justice, and we have to face him on Judgment Day. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And Vanessa, I really care about you. I want to see you in heaven. I want you to be born again. And you'll never, ever seek God's mercy while you say you're a good person. What did God do for guilty sinners so he wouldn't have to go to hell?
God gave the life of his own son.
Okay, Jesus died on the cross. How can that help you 2,000 years later? Here you are under the death sentence. Jesus died for our sins. How can his death on the cross help you in your moral dilemma?
By acknowledging it and respecting that.
Well, let me share the gospel with you, and this will change everything for you if you can get a grip of this, okay? The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. You say you're guilty, but you can go because someone paid your fine and it's legal. Well, God can legally take the death sentence off you because Jesus paid the fine in full on that cross. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death. And if you'll simply repent of your sins, don't confess them to priests, go straight to God and just confess and forsake your sins, repentance, and then put your trust in Jesus, not your goodness, but in Jesus. God promises, and he cannot lie, he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. It's called amazing grace, his unmerited favor. And the free gift of God is eternal life. Let me share one more or two more analogies with you, and you're very patient with me, thank you. And so is your hubby. I'm very grateful, he's on the phone. If you're a doctor, and in front of you is a patient that looked really well, goes to the gym every day, he's got a great physique, but you've got x-rays and you know he's dying, he's got 2 weeks to live. There's poison seeping through his system. You have a cure in your pocket. Do you give him the cure or show him the x-rays? Which would you do?
Oh, well, if I show him the x-rays, is this something that he can correct himself? No? Then yeah, give him the cure. Why not?
Well, this is why not. He'll be offended. He'll say, Doc, why are you giving me this? Can't you see how fit and healthy I am? It doesn't make sense. I don't want your silly cure. What you do if you're a good doctor is you show him the x-rays. Show him the poison going through his system. Make him sweat a little to a point where he says, Doc, I see what you're saying. This is deadly serious. What should I do? Now he's ready for the cure. Now he'll appreciate it and appropriate it because he's seen his disease, so he'll appreciate the cure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And what I've done with you today, and I was in fear and trembling, is I've showed you the x-rays, because I knew the cure would make sense. The gospel doesn't make sense if you don't realize your sin. So I showed you the x-rays that God's seen your heart, your thought life, you're under his anger, you're terminal, you're dying, but there's a cure. The gift of God is eternal life through just simply trusting in Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're going to think about this?
Yes. Yeah.
You've been so gracious. Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
Sure.
You nodded. Would you like one?
Yeah.
I'll give you a Gospel of John 2 that you're going to love. Really, it's the fourth book of the New Testament. Do you have a Bible at home?
I do.
And you're going to think seriously about what we talked about?
Yes.
Let me get that book. Isn't that cool?
Hey, look at that. The guy that he says, I was frightened and trembling. Poor little Ray. I think Ray's about this tall. I was frightened and trembling, he said. But he still spread the gospel. And that's great. That is really, really great. I want to read for you. Where did I put him? You know what? I'm going to be right back. You can look at the nice view behind me while I leave. All right, I've returned. I know that was a long journey. Okay, here we go. I'd like to read some of the cards that I got in the mail. Now, some of these are older cards. I have a stack like this that I just go through because we get so many of them. Jeremy, keep being you. You can be so funny. That reporting of Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade was hysterical. Loved it. Patricia Granger. I love reading these. Here's one from Doreen Davis, a.k.a. Brown Sugar. We love you. Harmony, Amanda, Caden, Dalen, Diego, and Kimora. From the bottom of our hearts, we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Next one. Ohio born and raised. God is good. LFA, Jeremy, Eli, and family. I'm so thankful for Live from America. You truly are my news information network. Keep up the great work. Carla J. Watkins. Well, thank you, dear. Love you very much. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust in him to help you do it. And he will. Psalm 37:5. And realized it was my heart the whole time. Thank you and thank the crew for a job well done. Blessing sent to you, Ray and Carmen. Thank you so very much. And then the last one here. This was back on Christmas, by the way. I just wanted to read this for you. I'm a monthly donor, but to my surprise, I had extra money. Now I could have I could very easily have spent it on myself, LOL. But I'm sowing this into LFA because you're not just doing the news, you're doing kingdom work. I've been on board since Facebook days and started monthly donations in January of 2021. Wow. I'm so proud of what you've grown LFA into in a really short period of time. That's all glory to God. You've never seen me in the live chat, but I rarely miss a live show. Keep up the good work and know that I'm part of the LFA family who's there for you. Blessings to you, Eli, and everyone in the family on Christmas in Christ, Carol Nolan. Folks, I got to tell you, and we got so much of this stuff. I read it a lot, and I just want to say, my family and I are so very grateful to each and every single one of you, not only for the donations and stuff like that. That's, you know, that's great, but the family environment. Last night, Rosa Catalano sent I get home, and there's a big box on my door, Eli. Huge box from Build-A-Bear. It's for Lily. For Easter, I'm assuming. Huge Build-A-Bear box with big wolf in it and a Build-A-Bear baby bear that she's got a dress on today and she's got the shoes on it and she's walking it around. She named it Strawberry Harrell. Eli is the bear's name. Strawberry Harrell. And Wolfie is the other one's name. So, you know, we get stuff like that in the mail. We get cards and we get all this stuff. And I wish I could read everything, but we're family. And you know what? We've been family for years, and we've had some ups and we've had some downs, but we've always kept it under the guise of God. And that, ladies and gentlemen, right there is what makes us special. That's what makes us special. I want to say thank you all very much. We've got Mike Crispy and the best producer of all time. What's he called? Eli, the most bass, excuse me. The most bass producer of all time, Frankie, coming up next on Unafraid. And then, of course, we got 2 hours of Live from America where we're doing phone calls again today. So make sure you're ready for that. I love you guys. Thank you for joining in with me today. Appreciate everything that you guys do all day, every day. Thank you again. God bless you, and have a good rest of your morning. Let's bring on some of that music right now. Here we go. See you later, folks. God bless.
When all hope is gone, and your word is all I've got, I have to believe you still bring water from the rock to satisfy my thirst, to love me at my birth. And even when I don't remember, you remind me of my word. I don't trust my